a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth. You therefore, you who teach another, do you not teach yourself? One of the biggest problems with the religious leaders of that time is they read the scripture and they took it and applied it to everybody else. And it's one of the biggest problems we have in our day. People read the Bible, they read the scripture, and they understand what it should mean in everybody's life but mine. And so Paul says, you therefore, you who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? It's amazing how many times when you study the Old Testament and the New Testament that the Lord talks to his people about stealing or robbing. It's pretty wild when you watch for that. You who say that no one should commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Jesus addressed this with the Jews in Matthew chapter 5, and he blew them away. Because what they tended to do was, if they got tired of the wife they were with, they divorced her and they got another one. You who say that no one should commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor or detest idols, do you rob temples? The Jews would go in, they were told to destroy these pagan temples, and many times they would take things for themselves instead of destroying everything they had been told to destroy. You who boast in the law through your, listen to this, through your breaking of the law, do you dishonor God? And then he says this, and I think that we have to take this last verse 24 and we have to apply it to ourselves as believers, as Christians, because as you'll see in a minute, we have the same privileges the Jews had. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles, among the unbeliever, because of you. So look back at verse 17 and let's review a few things we talked about last week real quickly so we understand the context of this passage. Paul says, but if you bear the name Jew, the Jews were, of course, God's chosen people and they took great pride in wearing the name Jew. And most Jews believe that a person was saved by being this law-abiding, circumcised descendant of Abraham. And the name Jew, again, came from the title Judah, which was one of the 12 nations of Israel and was also the name of the southern tribe of Israel after King Solomon's death. But during their captivity in Babylon, the name Jew came to refer to this whole race who descended from Abraham. And the name Jew not only represented their racial heritage, but it also represented their religious heritage. And in their minds, they were this special favored people of God, this special privileged people of God. In fact, the root meaning of the word Judah, therefore Jew, means Yahweh be praised. And they had this unique divine calling. They truly did. They were to be the avenue through which the Bible says in Genesis 12:3, all the families of the earth would be blessed. God's purpose for his chosen people, listen to this carefully, because God's purpose is the same for you and I as Christians. God's purpose for his chosen people was for them to share his divine scriptures and his divine Savior with the rest of the world. We're going to see that here in a minute. But instead of taking these blessings and using them for God's purposes, they used them for their own purposes. Instead of being a means in which God would draw all nations unto himself, they began to see God's blessings as some right that they had that provided them special favor with God. And they totally missed God's purpose for their lives. So this morning, let's take these scriptures and let's get real practical. Because here we are this morning, we have the same privileges as the Jew, and we are coming up on our 7th anniversary. Valentine's Day 2017 will be our 7-year anniversary. We'll start our 8th year. And so as we come to this new year, and as we come to this new year for Grace Bible Fellowship, and we come to celebrate this 7-year anniversary, let's see if we can identify the mistakes the Jews made and see if we can keep from making some of those same mistakes ourselves. Let's see how we're doing individually and as a church, the Family Grace Bible Fellowship. One of the oldest mistakes known to man is this, and I invite you to write this in your notes this morning. Moralism is when people rely on religion to make them right with God instead of relying on faith in Jesus Christ to make them right with God. Moralism is when Christians rely on religion to make them right with God instead of relying on their faith in Jesus Christ to make them right with God. And religion always promotes three things, and we need to identify these things and understand what they are. Number one, religion always promotes activities and appearances. Religion always promotes activities and appearances. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, "For God does not see as man sees." God does not see as man sees. For man always looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's why when we come in here, we focus every Sunday on getting our heart in the right place. Amen? God doesn't care what you're wearing. He doesn't care how you sound. Sometimes people tell me, "Irvin, I don't sing because I've got the worst voice on the planet." No, I do. But I sing out whether anybody around me likes it or not because I'm worshiping my God. I'm worshiping my Lord and Savior, and so I will be quite honest with you, I lay my pride down when I sing. I have no pride when it comes to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because what Keith said when he was up here is absolutely critical. If it weren't for the grace of God, I could be anywhere doing anything. If you don't understand that, you don't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you think that somehow you're a better person than somebody else, and you don't understand that if it's not for the grace of God, you could be anywhere doing anything, you do not understand the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so religion always emphasizes the physical over the spiritual. Always. Religion always emphasizes what we can do over what God can do. For instance, religion says that we attract people to GBF with big, beautiful buildings and awesome activities. Scripture says, listen to this, because this is not what our culture says at all, but listen, this is the truth. The Scripture says we attract people with love and truth. We love them enough to tell them the truth. The Scripture says we attract people with love and truth. And actually, it's not us attracting them anymore. Because once we're obedient to the Word of God, who's attracting who? The Holy Spirit is attracting people. God will build His church, right? We don't build it. The Lord builds it when we live in obedience to Him. And so we attract people with love and truth. God attracts people with love, attracts people to us as we love and we share truth from God's Word, regardless of what this culture preaches is truth. We share truth from God's Word as we worship together. One of the biggest things that I hear, and I don't know if you guys ever hear this or not, is people come into our church and they watch us worship. And every now and then somebody just said this to me last week. I love to watch so-and-so worship because I can just tell that person that he is worshiping with his heart. And so the Scriptures say that people are attracted to church as we show them love and we share truth with them, as we worship together, as we learn together, as we obey together, as we fellowship together, as we minister together, and as we go out into the world together to share the gospel. Religion wears people out. It wears people out with nonstop activity, and it seeks to do good in order to be seen and admired. But Jesus always focused on relationships first, which leads us to point B in your notes. Religious always promotes secondary matters, buildings, activities, different things like that. Religious always promotes secondary matters while ignoring the primary purposes of God. What is the primary purpose of God? I'm glad you asked. It's in your notes. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said this. A man came to him and said, what's the most important thing I can do in this life? What is the first and foremost commandment? If I was going to do anything, if I was going to know anything, Jesus, what would it be? And he said this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Relationship first. This is the greatest and the foremost commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Relationship first and foremost. And yet religion emphasizes tradition to the point that the real mission of the church is lost. While Jesus puts all the emphasis on relationships, religion puts all the emphasis on traditions and rituals. For instance, the style of music that we sing becomes more important than loving God, loving each other, and reaching out in love to a lost world. For some people, that's the deciding factor on where they go to church, is the style of music. And as you can see, that always, again, leads back to selfish motives instead of sacrifice. Which leads us to point C. Religion always promotes personal interest as opposed to personal sacrifice. Religion always promotes personal interest as opposed to personal sacrifice. And James said in James 3:16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, listen to what he says. Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. That's crazy, isn't it? Where you have envy and selfish ambition. Well, is everybody, are they singing the songs I like? Is the pastor preaching a message that makes me feel good? You know what? Honestly, when I spend time in the Word, I don't always feel good when I'm finished. Because the Lord's corrected me. He loves me enough to keep me on the right path. When I finish dealing with one of my children when they've done wrong, they don't feel good when they walk away. Because I love them enough to tell them the truth and love them enough to do everything I can to discipline them so that they go down the right path. And so religion always promotes personal interest as opposed to personal sacrifice. But James says, where you have this selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. And the bottom line is this, the more religious you become, the more self-centered you will be. And whatever's accomplished by the religious person, you can mark it down as always done for the purpose of being recognized. The religious person can't fathom doing good without somebody knowing about it. They have to make sure everybody knows about it. The religious person is always seeking power, prestige, and position. And so religion always promotes self instead of living for the glory of God and promoting Jesus Christ. And last week we looked at some great blessings from God that the common Jew turned into opportunities to promote himself instead of using these blessings to glorify God. And so what I want us to do for a few minutes that we have left is I want us to take these same four sources of Jewish arrogance and ask ourselves a few questions so that we can gauge where we're at, because as Christians, We've been given the same privileges the Jews were given. Number one in your notes is our title. Just like the Israelites wore the name Jew with honor, we should wear the name Christian with honor. But listen closely. To do something with honor means to do it with humility. To do something with honor means to do it with humility. One of my favorite shows, well, I won't even say what it is, because I wouldn't necessarily tell you to watch it because of some of the language. But it's a military show, and one of the things that they said the other night on the show is the weakest person out there is the person that thinks they cannot be broken. The weakest person in this group of people that we've put together is the person that thinks, this person's driven by arrogance, they're driven by pride, and they think that they cannot be broken. And so the Israelites wore this name Jew, they wore it very proudly, and we should wear it with honor, but to wear it with honor means we wear it with humility. And we must remember that we don't deserve the name and we cannot earn the name. It's a free gift of grace. The word grace means God stooped down. Literally, it means that God stooped down, did something for us that we could never do for ourselves. And so, it's a free gift of God's grace to all who believe in Jesus Christ. And so, we wear the name Christian to honor God and to not draw attention to ourselves. Speaking of Abraham, the Bible says in Romans 4:20, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God." I want you to underline three things in your notes. He did not waver in unbelief. That's the first thing. He grew strong in faith. That's the second thing. And number three, he gave glory to God. He lived his life giving glory to God. That, you ever wonder what God's will is for your life? There it is right there. Quit wavering in unbelief. Quit living your life in unbelief and be willing to step out in faith. Be willing to grow. Quit being this lazy person that doesn't read Scripture. Quit being this lazy, undisciplined individual that always has an excuse for why you don't understand the Bible and what it says. And take some responsibility as a believer in Jesus Christ who has the Holy Spirit that lives within you and begin to move forward in your life and in your relationship with God. When I was 18 years old, my parents bought me a Bible. I got saved. They bought me a brand new Bible and I started reading it. And for a long time there was a lot of stuff I didn't understand, but I kept reading it. Because I laid in my bed one night as a teenager and I said, "God, I don't know if I believe all this mess. But if you'll show me without a shadow of a doubt that you're real and that you really love me, I'll serve you the rest of my life." Now, if I'd known he was going to make me a preacher, I would have never prayed that prayer. Because it would have scared me to death, right? It's like the old, "Well, I'm afraid if I give my life to God, he's going to make me go to China and be a missionary in China" thing, right? But I started reading that Bible and I kept reading that Bible. Through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, I just kept growing in the Lord. And I've spent my whole life trying to grow in the Lord. And so quit being that guy. Quit making excuses. Because you're going to, it's a lifelong habit by now, if you're my age. So break out of it. Quit being that person that doesn't grow up. Quit being the person that doesn't have discipline in your life. Become the person that God wants you to be. Quit wavering in unbelief and grow in your faith. Grow strong in your faith and give glory to God. Allow God to use your life to bring Him glory. That's where real purpose and peace in life comes from anyway. It comes from giving yourself for the glory of God. And then secondly, to wear the name Christian is to live in obedience to the Word of God. Some of us live in obedience to part of the Word that we are okay with and the Word that we agree with. Listen, it's either the Word of God or it's not. It's either the truth or it's not. So if you wear the name Christian, live in obedience to the Word of God. Have some integrity. We're all going to mess up. I do it every day. But have integrity in your life and follow the Word of God. The Bible teaches repeatedly that you can tell you're a true believer because you live in obedience to God's commands. You can read that over and over and over again just in the book of 1 John. And then thirdly, to wear the name Christian is to, and this is huge, to wear the name Christian is to invite accountability into your life. Many people call themselves Christians and do not allow brothers and sisters in Christ to hold them accountable to anything. In fact, their mentality is, no one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me how to live. And if they do, I'll pick up my toys and go somewhere else. How immature is that? When you read the Bible, you can't have that mentality. When you read 1 Corinthians, you cannot have that mentality. When you read Galatians chapter 6, you can't have that mentality. This person that constantly does not understand the value of biblical accountability, and so they keep family members, church family members, at bay so that they can protect their own agenda and their own priority for their life. And thus, they really hinder the growth process in their life, the life of their spouse, the life of their children, and they never really experience how God could use them. They never really come to understand and experience what it's like to be used by God for the kingdom of heaven. And so we have our title, and then we have His truth, number two. We have His truth. We've been given the 66 books of the Bible for the purpose of knowing God and making Him known. And today, churches place huge emphasis on vision statements, right? And the vision statement for GBF is very simple. It's to know God and make Him known. And we keep things simple for the purpose of keeping things biblical. But the Jews totally lost sight of what they had been chosen to do, which was to know God and make Him known. And they were to take God's divine revelation, His Word, and they were to take God's divine Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and make Him known to the rest of the world, but they totally missed God's purpose for their lives. And we have to ask ourselves, are we doing what God has told us to do as believers? Are we living the life that God's called us to live as Christians if we wear this name? We've been given the same exact responsibility as the Jews. We are to know God personally and intimately, and we are to make Him known to the rest of the world. That's why we do Operation Christmas Child, where we send boxes all over the world so children can have Christmas and come to know Jesus Christ. That's why we support Adult Teen Challenge with people who have these addictions, these brutal addictions, so they can get discipled for a whole year. We pay their way so they can get discipled for a whole year. That's why we do the Children's Christmas Fund, that where over 100 children will receive Christmas gifts and the gospel. That's why we go on mission trips each year. We're going on one last week in June. If you're interested in doing missions with GBF, you need to see me. That's why we do Vacation Bible School. That's why we participate in Disciple Nows. It's why we participate in camps, specifically with our youth camp. Our teenagers go and serve other people for an entire week. It's a missions camp. That's why we adopt children from all over the world through Compassion International. And it's why the first Sunday in January, a friend of mine who used to be the DJ for KSCS, a popular country western station in the Metroplex, now runs an orphanage in Africa. And he's going to be here with us and share with us how we can be part of what God has led him and his wife to do in Africa, a very dangerous part of Africa. And Jesus said it this way in Matthew 28. Jesus came up and he spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is like, it doesn't make you a Christian. You need to understand that. It doesn't make you a Christian. It shows that you're already a Christian. It's like this wedding ring that I wear that shows that I've committed my life to Andrea Irvin. And it shows that you've already committed your life to God. And then he says, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. And so like the Jew, we have our title, we have his truth, and number three, we have a special relationship with God. We have a special relationship with God. As Christians, the Bible says that we have been given, we don't earn it, we've been given peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. Again, we haven't earned it and we don't deserve it. It's a free gift of God's grace. That's why Christmas is so appropriate to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, because the gospel is all about this free gift of salvation, this free gift of forgiveness and freedom that we receive when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've also been given this special gift, the special gift of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, Romans 5:5. And everything we have is a gift from God. So the question we must ask ourselves is in what do we boast? In what do we boast? Do we boast in ourselves and our accomplishments? We live in a world that says it's all about accomplishments. That's who you are, that's what you are, and I preach to my kids over and over again, never buy into that lie. I tell my kids, you need to understand that you're not an athlete. You're a child of God. If you like to play sports, fine, do your best for the glory of God. But do not make that your identity. Because you're a child of God. And we live in a culture that worships athletes. So don't buy into that lie. You're a child of God. If you want to play sports, or you want to play in the band, or you want to be in FFA, do your best for the glory of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that came to this earth and died on the cross for you. Do it all for the glory of God. You can't go wrong. And the Lord will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. So what do we boast in? Do we boast in our accomplishments and in ourselves, or do we boast in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who created us and has given us everything, the Bible says? Number four is our knowledge of the will of God. And I'm going to close with this morning, but I want to say, if you haven't heard anything else, I want you to hear this. This is huge. As Christians, are we content with the fact that we know God and have inherited eternal life? As believers, are we content with the fact that we know God and have inherited eternal life? We know, because we went verse by verse through the book of Revelation, that it teaches us that God will one day reclaim this earth and justice will be served. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we actively seeking to reach our world with the good news of Jesus Christ? Or are we content just to sit and soak every Sunday knowing that we're going to be okay? Or are we serving God's purpose that He's given us, is to reach the world, to reach all nations? We've been instructed by our Lord to make disciples of all nations. And Paul reminds the nation of Israel right here in Romans chapter 2 that they were to be a guide to the blind. They were to be a light to those who are in darkness. They were to be a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law that the Lord had given them the embodiment of knowledge and of truth. And so we too must ask ourselves, what difference are these special privileges from God making in our lives? Are we comfortable and complacent? or are we motivated by the Holy Spirit to carry out the purposes behind the privileges? Are we truly living the Christian life, which is to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ? If we're truly living for God and for His glory, we won't have time for religion. We won't worry near as much about activities and appearances. And we'll be so busy accomplishing the primary purposes of God, we won't have time for our own agenda. To know God and make Him known. That's the vision of GBF. Take it home, compare it with the Great Commandment in Matthew 22 and the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And then ask yourself this: what am I doing to help my church family accomplish the purposes that God has given me? What am I doing? Am I just show up and evaluate everything and decide whether I want to be here or not? What am I doing to help my church family accomplish the purposes that God has given us? What am I doing with these amazing privileges that I have been given through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We're going to do something really special as we head into our eighth year. All through the Bible, God did amazing things in people's lives in 40-day time periods. And so beginning in January, we're going to take a special journey together, and this doesn't have anything to do with a journey group. It has nothing to do with a journey group. This is just you. You and your church family. We're going to take a special journey together, and for 40 days, we're going to read a book entitled, What on Earth Am I Here For? The details are in the bulletin about when it'll start, all those kind of things. It's a devotional broken up into 40 chapters, one for each day. And we're going to say to each other, and we're going to say to our family, we're going to take this journey together. God, I'm going to take this journey with the rest of my family, and I want you to show me your purposes like never before. In this 40 days, I'm going to give you 40 days, and I'm going to read this book every day for 40 days. And I'm going to invite you to show me your purposes. There's over 1,000 scripture in here. And I'm going to invite you, Lord, to encourage me like never before to not be a good man or not be a good woman, but to be a man of God, to be a woman of God. And this book is going to help us as a church to stay biblical. Our priority when we started GBF was to start biblical and stay biblical. And that's what we're going to do. This book is going to help us. It's specifically designed to help us make sure that we are driven by God's purposes and not religion. It's going to help us make sure we're living for God and we are not just playing church. So I want to invite you, as we close, to bow your heads with me and just ask the Lord